of famine in Israel. Elimelech died in Moab, and the two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, married Ruth and Orpah. When they died, that is, the sons, Naomi tells her daughters-in-law to go back home to their families, and maybe they will be able to remarry again. This brings us to Ruth chapter 1, verses 14 through 17. Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me." And then in chapter 2 and verse 11, it says, "Boaz answered and said to her, 'It has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before.'" Now, if this is not a statement, or if these are not statements that are grounded in Ruth's love for Naomi, I don't know what it would be. Ruth was not required to stay with Naomi. She was not required to go back to Israel with her. The fact is that she wanted to. She loved her mother-in-law. But Ruth also chose to serve God. This was probably because she had been taught about God after becoming a part of this family. We must realize that this speaks to the character of the family and the character of Ruth. The fact that Ruth is obedient to the truth and wants to serve God speaks volumes about her. The fact that Ruth wants to stay with Naomi speaks to the character of Naomi also. This gives us a picture of what the relationship then of between a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law ought to be like. Now, this is a two-way street. We know that. But in order for the relationship to be what it ought to be, both parties must act in a godly manner. Ruth and Naomi have shown that it is possible to have a wonderful relationship between a daughter-in-law and a mother-in-law, and they serve as an example to women today. But again, the fact that she is willing to go with Naomi speaks of the love that Ruth has for her. But as the account progresses, notice that Ruth respects and listens to the instructions of Naomi. And they serve to show her love for Naomi. When she gives her instruction concerning what she should do concerning Boaz, Ruth listens. This is found in Ruth chapter 2, verse 22, through chapter 3 and verse 5. "And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, 'It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women, and that people do not meet you in any other field.' So she stayed close by the young women of Boaz to glean until the end of barley harvest and wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, 'My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? Now Boaz, whose young women you were with, is he not our relative? In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself, put on your best garment, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be, when he lies down, that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in, uncover his feet, and lie down, and he will tell you what you should do. And she said to her, all that you say to me, I will do. Now this again shows a love and respect for Naomi on the part of Ruth. These verses also show that Ruth has a love and respect for the laws of God concerning the fact that she should marry a close relative. But we'll notice that in more detail when we consider Boaz's love for the law. But given these facts, what lessons do we learn from this today? The fact that Ruth listened to the instruction of Naomi. Well, there's a passage in Titus 2 concerning the fact that older women are to teach the younger women. In Titus 2, verses 1 through 5, it says this, "But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed." Titus is told that it is sound doctrine, healthy doctrine, good doctrine, to tell the older women to teach the younger women. And although it is not stated directly, there is the implication that the younger women are to listen to the older women. When the older women admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed, the younger women are to love and respect the word of God. And they are to love and respect the older women enough to listen to them and follow what they are told. Ruth loved and respected Naomi. She also loved and respected God. She loved and respected both of them enough to follow their instructions. Now let's notice the love of Boaz for Ruth. We're not told directly why it is that Boaz loves Ruth, but there are several characteristics given concerning Ruth, which might just be the reasons why Boaz feels as he does toward her. First, I think he loves her because of the way that she treats her mother-in-law. Notice again the way he speaks to her concerning this, again in Ruth chapter 2 and verse 11. "It has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before." It is verse 10 of that same chapter which tells us that this may be a reason why he loved her. "She fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, 'Why have I found favor in your eyes, that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner?' And he answered and said, 'It has been fully reported to me these things.'" Boaz is impressed with the fact that Ruth has left her homeland and her parents in order to be with Naomi. But what else is it that he sees in Ruth? He notices that she's a hard worker. In Ruth chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, it says this, "There was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. So Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, 'Please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him, in whose sight I may find favor.' And she said to her, 'Go, my daughter.' Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, 'The Lord be with you.' And they answered him, 'The Lord bless you.' Then Boaz said to his servant who is in charge of the reapers, Whose young woman is this? So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, it is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house. I would suggest to you that from this passage, Boaz noticed that Ruth was a hard worker. And this showed him that she was a woman of character. She not only worked to provide for herself, but she worked also to provide for her mother-in-law. You see, beauty is not the only thing that is important about a person. What is on the inside counts greater than what is on the outside. We will notice more on this point in a moment. But next, notice that Boaz realized that Ruth was a virtuous woman. And I believe this is one of the reasons that he loved her. In Ruth chapter 3, verses 1 through 11, we read, then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, my daughter, shall I not seek security for you that it may be well with you? Now Boaz, whose young women you were with, is he not our relative? In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself, put on your best garment and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies. And you shall go in, uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what you should do. And she said to her, all that you say to me I will do. So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her. And after Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. And she came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled and turned himself, and there a woman was lying at his feet. And he said, who are you? So she answered, I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative. Then he said, blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you request, for all the people of my town know that you are a virtuous woman. Boaz said, all the people of my town know that you're a virtuous woman. Did you know that there are only three times that the English word virtuous occurs in the King James Version? All three of them are found in connection with a woman or a wife. The other two times are in Proverbs. Proverbs 12 and verse 4, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. Proverbs 31:10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Yes, I would submit to you that I believe that Boaz loved Ruth because she was virtuous. I also believe that he loved her because she was a hard worker and because of the way that she treated her mother-in-law. But now let's notice how Boaz showed his love for Naomi or for Ruth. First, notice that he gave her special treatment. In chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, he says, now Boaz said to her at mealtime, come here and eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. So she sat beside the reapers and he passed parched grain to her and she ate and was satisfied and kept some back. And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men saying, let her glean even among the sheaves and do not reproach her. And also let grain from the bundles fall purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean and do not rebuke her. Yes, Boaz gave Ruth special treatment. You see, the law required certain things of farmers of the day. In Leviticus chapter 19, verses 9 and 10, it says, "When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not totally reap the corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest. And you shall not glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather every grape of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God." They were to leave certain portions of the field for the poor and the stranger. We're told elsewhere one other thing that they were to do in Deuteronomy 24:19. "When you reap your harvest in your field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be for the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands." So we see that they were to leave certain portions of the field, specifically the corners, for those who were less fortunate. And if they happened to forget a part of the harvest in the field, they weren't to go back for it, but to leave it. I think we see by now that Boaz's instructions to his reapers go beyond the law. He told them to deliberately leave some grain for Ruth. He told them to allow her to come even among them and reap the grain. You see, she was not confined to the corners of the field, but allowed to work with the reapers. Again, we see that Boaz loved Ruth because he gave her special treatment. But we also see that Boaz loved Ruth in that he married her. Now, this crosses over somewhat with the discussion of our next point, so we'll deal with that in just a moment. But at this point, let's notice some lessons that we can learn from Boaz's love for Ruth. First, we can learn that it is imperative that we choose the right kind of person for a spouse. Boaz chose Ruth, who was a woman of character, a hard worker, a virtuous woman, a woman who treated others, especially her mother-in-law, with kindness. We've already seen the passages in Proverbs. Proverbs 12:4, "An excellent wife is a crown to her husband." Proverbs 31:10, "Who can find a virtuous wife, for her worth is far above rubies?" But notice another passage. Proverbs 19, verses 13 and 14. "A foolish son is the ruin of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dripping. Houses and riches are an inheritance from fathers, but a prudent wife is from the Lord." The fact is that the choice that we make concerning who we will marry will affect the rest of our lives. Young people, let me encourage you to seek out a spouse who is a Christian. Visit other congregations, attend youth events, go to Christian colleges, or at least to colleges that have good church campus programs. Do everything within your power to choose the right person, a person who is a strong and faithful Christian. If you meet a person who you like and think might make a good spouse, but they're not a Christian, please make an attempt to study with them and teach them the gospel. Again, your future will be greatly enhanced or greatly diminished by your choice in this matter. I could give you many examples. Others could give you many other examples. But there were two people in my high school class who were Christians, members of the church. One was a young lady, daughter of an elder. Just a few years ago, I was standing in the congregation where she attends, right down near the front, and she looked at me and she said, "Jimmy, I wish I had married a Christian." Another young man that was a year or two ahead of me married a non-Christian who was a year or so behind me. And he said to me, "Jimmy, I wish I'd married a Christian." Because his wife and his children are going to a denominational church. And then there was when I was a child, growing up, there was a young man who came with his mother. We became friends over the years. But his father was not a Christian. Several years later, as he grew up, he became old enough to make his own choices, and he chose to stay home with his daddy. Later, his daddy became a Christian and became a force unstoppable in the church, converting dozens of people. But he had lost his son. Because he was not a Christian during those formative years. Another thing that we learn from the love that Boaz had for Ruth concerns the love that a man ought to have for his wife. He will love her as God would have him to. Now, this is not a situation where the woman is to be mistreated or demeaned in any way. This will not be the case in a home where the husband has the proper love for his wife. The New Testament is very clear on this. Ephesians 5:25, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her." Verses 28 and 29, "So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church." In our time in Africa, I learned a lot of things about the culture. And there's actually a tribe in Tanzania where the woman does not believe that her husband loves her unless he beats her. That's how he's supposed to show his love for her, according to their culture. And then there were nights when we would lay in bed, our windows open because of the heat. And up on the hill in the village around us, we would hear women screaming because they were being beaten. I drilled it into the heads of my preacher students. And every time I got a chance in the congregation, I said, "If you beat your wife, you are going straight to hell unless you repent." And I hope they got the message. Colossians 3:19, "Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them." 1 Peter 3:7, "Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, give an honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered." Think about that, brethren. If you don't treat your wife as God would have you to, your prayers don't reach the ceiling. These passages make it impossible for a man to abuse his wife. They make it impossible for him to treat his wife as a slave or to demean her. He is not her lord and ruler as a tyrant would be, but her protector and her leader. He treats her as he would treat his own body. You know, many years ago, there was a country song. It had the words in it, I made her the queen of my double wide trailer. You remember that one? Think about those words. It may not be a double wide trailer, but she is to be the queen. The queen of a double wide trailer, a shack, or a mansion. A man loves his wife as God would have him to. He loves her as Boaz loved Ruth. Lastly, notice that Boaz loved the law of God. To discuss this point, we must first speak briefly about what the law required in a situation like this. In Deuteronomy 25, verses 5 and 6, it says this: if brothers dwell together and one of them dies and has no son, the widow of the dead man shall not be married to a stranger outside the family. Her husband's brother shall go into her, take her as his wife, and perform the duty of a husband's brother to her. And it shall be that the firstborn son which she bears will succeed to the name of his dead brother, that his name may not be blotted out of Israel. We see here that the law said that the widow of a man was to marry the brother of her husband in order to ensure that the man's lineage was carried on. We know that there was no brother to fulfill this commandment in the situation of Ruth. So evidently under the law, it was permissible to have the next closest relative to fulfill this obligation. This is where we see Boaz's respect for the law. Look at what he says to Ruth when she requests that he fulfill the law of Deuteronomy 25. In Ruth 3, 12 and 13, it says, "Now it is true that I am a close relative. However, there is a relative closer than I. Stay this night, and in the morning it shall be that if he will perform the duty of a close relative for you, good, let him do it. But if he does not want to perform the duty for you, then I will perform the duty for you as the Lord lives." The point is that Boaz could have disregarded the law of God, taken Ruth for his wife, but he knew the law. And he knew the intent of the law. He knew that there was a relative closer than he, and he wanted to follow the law to the letter. We know the rest of the account. We know how it is that the relative decides he will not accept that responsibility, and he gives the right to Boaz. Boaz, because of his respect for the law and his faithfulness, was chosen by God to have a part in bringing the Messiah into the world. We noted earlier that Ruth also loved God and his laws by the fact that she was willing to marry the close relative and therefore continue the line of her husband. The lesson here is that love for and obedience of God's laws will always bring about the best for all involved. It will not always be easy, but it will always be best. I hope that you're able to live closer to God and be a better servant of God because of these lessons from Ruth. There truly is a love story contained in the pages of the book of Ruth. It ultimately shows these people's love for God and his love for them. The same love from God is available today through his Son. For in this manner God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. Will you be as Ruth and Boaz and respect God's law to the point of obedience? If you're not a Christian, we would urge you to become one today. Believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, repent of your sins, make public confession of your faith in him as the Son of God, and be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. But if you are a Christian and for some reason you are not following the law of God as you should, make it right today and do so as we stand and sing.